Thank you. I just want to read one verse before what Sarah so wonderfully read to us. And the Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my hand will come true for you or not." And then we heard from Numbers 11 that the Lord took the spirit that was on Moses and shared it with the elders, the 70. And then we hear the response of Moses, which I just couldn't help but get over as we were looking at Pentecost. When Moses says, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets. The Lord would put his spirit on all of them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Today I'd like to ask the question, that was a long time before Pentecost, but was Moses prophesying what would happen at Pentecost? Was he declaring what the Lord would do? Did he understand the Lord in his heart so much that he was able to say this would be coming true? It wasn't just a wish or a desire, but he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, knew this would come true. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that in John's gospel today we heard that when you were glorified, you would send your Holy Spirit to us. And we thank you for the birthday of the church, the festival of weeks, the festival of Shabbat, the time of the giving of the law. And that by your Holy Spirit, you poured out your Spirit on all the people who are gathered, on all of them. And Lord, they were amazed. And they asked, "What does this mean?" Lord, may we today understand what this means and how privileged we are to receive your Holy Spirit and be filled again and again with your Holy Spirit. May we be amazed and perplexed by the fact that you can do greater things that we can even fathom or imagine. And Lord, may we be ready to receive what you have for us this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, a rock and a redeemer. Amen. Well, the story in Numbers seems really weird to have on Pentecost, because it happens a long time before Pentecost. It happens just after the people have been given the law, and then they celebrate the Passover 2 years after they've left Egypt, and they're being told that they're going to go to this land, and they're starting to complain because it's not happening fast enough. I can't imagine that you know people that complain when things aren't happening the way they want them to happen. You probably don't have that experience, right? Well, the people of Israel, they were having a problem. They were remembering the great times in Egypt. You know how hindsight is kind of unusual sometimes? How we remember things maybe not exactly the way they happened? Well, they were thinking of the food that they had, the meat that they had, and they were getting kind of tired of manna. It's interesting, when Jesus is doing his ministry and he feeds the 5,000, remember? They want to make him a king because they say, "Here is a person that can feed us just like God fed us in the desert with the manna." Remember hindsight? But when they were actually there, at the beginning of chapter 11, they're complaining because they don't have meat. All they have is manna, and they're tired of it. And God's anger is kindled against them, and Moses intercedes for the people. He actually says, "I didn't bore all, these are not my kids. I didn't conceive these. Why are you giving me this great burden? Why are you telling me I have to take care of these people?" And God promises that he's going to give them meat, so much so that they will have an abundance of meat. And that's what you heard, the little verse that I read, is the Lord's hand shortened? Can he not do what he promises? The Hebrew here actually says, is the Lord's hand limited? It's not limited. The Lord will, after chapter 11, give them so much quail that they'll get tired of it. Okay? But what's interesting to me, and when I heard the words of Moses, I thought to myself, that's a really interesting statement that he makes, right? Remember what happened? The Lord told him to gather the elders, and we don't know if this is the 70 that his father-in-law Jethro told him to pick to help him with judging the people in Israel and taking care of the issues that kept coming to Moses. We don't know if those are the 70, but it sounds like it because it says that the two that were in the camp were registered as elders but never showed up. They missed the meeting. Sometimes that happens, right? Right. And so we recognize that God said that he was going to come down and he was going to take the spirit that was on Moses and he was going to put it on the 70 elders. And that's why I thought it was so amazing, because they get the gift of the Holy Spirit. They get what was only up to this point given to Moses. Later on, it'll go to the priests, it'll go to artisans, it will go to the prophets, it will go to many people. And people like Elisha will get a double portion of it. But at this point, Moses is the one who has the Spirit, and God says he's going to come down, he's going to take that Spirit, and he's going to give it to the 70 elders. And so Moses is faithful. He does what he's told. He gathers them together around the tent, and God comes down in his glory, and he apportions the Spirit. And what's interesting is it says this is a one-time event. And I guess when I was reading this, I was grieving the fact that for many people, the infilling or the baptism or whatever you want to call it of the Holy Spirit is a one-time event. Have you heard stories about this? Someone went to a conference and they got prayed over and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was really powerful for a while, and then it kind of leaked out. That sounds really strange, doesn't it? But you know, it is, the word filling suggests that the Lord has to keep, you know, we know we have the Holy Spirit, we know we're children of God, we know we have our identity in Christ, but there's this thing that happens to us as we go along. We need to keep getting refreshed, renewed, filled. And it's interesting because this particular time, the Spirit comes upon the elders and even those who aren't at the meeting, those who are chosen, those who are identified as elders. I always love the word elders in Hebrew because it actually is a word that comes from beards. So they had to have beards. What would happen to people that just couldn't have a... No, anyways, but I digress. But you know, it comes from the word beard. It means that this is someone who is mature and is respected by the people, and they get this one gift where they can prophesy. And it's so funny because they get this one gift where they can prophesy, and it must have been an amazing event to have 70 people prophesying at the same time. Wouldn't that have been amazing? What was the Lord saying to his people at that time? What was the Lord saying to these people that he had led out and he was about to take into the... It's right after this that they send spies into Canaan. Where are they? What was the Lord saying to his people as he's leading them to this place that they haven't seen yet? What kind of words must they have received? And it's interesting because Eldad and Medad, they're in the camp and they didn't make the meeting, and yet they're given the Holy Spirit, right? The Lord doesn't limit it. That's what I love about him. He doesn't limit it. He wants all to be filled with it, right? He wants all the elders, and even if they were at the meeting, they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they prophesy. And the first thing that first thing we human beings want to do is put limits on things, right? You notice that? So this young man comes running up to Joshua and says, there's two people that didn't make the meeting, and they're getting the benefit. That isn't fair. I'm interpreting it a little bit, but, you know, what are they doing? I think that Joshua was concerned because Joshua was the servant of Moses. I think he was concerned because he saw disorder. And he might have, because of all the complaining that was going on, thinking that maybe those two would usurp Moses' authority. Because Moses is there with the 70, and these two are in the camp, and everybody's seeing what they're seeing when everybody else is at the tabernacle with the Lord in the tent, around the tent. And they're not, and the people aren't seeing it, so I think they might be concerned that those people are going to amass a following. Can you see the concern? So I don't want to minimize Joshua's concern. I think he had a valid concern. But what I love is Moses' response, and that's what I want to talk about today, because to me, that response is amazing. He says, you know, are you jealous for me? Are you envious for me? Are you concerned about me? And it almost sounds like in frustration, he says, I wish all God's people could prophesy. We're prophets, right? I wish all of them were. Like, I wish all of them had this gift. I wish all of them could share what God's word was. Wouldn't it be great if we all could hear from the Lord and know exactly what he wants for us? I yearn for that. I would like it if the Lord said, go to that corner over there, turn right. Go to that two blocks down, turn left. Don't you ever, when you listen to GPS, think, wouldn't it be awesome if the Lord sold a GPS? I mean, really, wouldn't it be nice? No? I think it'd be great. Yeah, exactly. We know exactly where we're supposed to be. We know exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We know exactly what he wants of us. And yet, I know the reason the Lord didn't do that, and I know the reason the Lord didn't do what Moses wanted at that point in time, it's because we are called to have a relationship with Jesus in order that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have the person from whom it came to hear what his will is for us. I want to be clear on this. We receive the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Paraclete, the one who gives us the power so that we do what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? That means that the reason that this didn't continue was because these 70 elders, this is my interpretation, but I think it's similar to what goes on today, is they didn't really have the relationship that Moses had with God, did they? Well, think about it. Did they go in the tent of meeting? Did they see God, albeit his back, but did they see him? Did they spend time on Mount Sinai with him? They got closer than anybody else, the elders did. But really, the relationship with Moses. The real miracle of Pentecost is that we no longer need someone between us and God. We have Jesus, and he is the one who intercedes for us, right? He is the one who is our Lord and Savior. He is the one who is our ruler. He is the one who gives us his will for us to live, his plan for us to live. And so, brothers and sisters, I think we should be like Moses, and we should declare that all people should have the Spirit. And the reason why all people don't have the Spirit is, I believe, is because their relationship with Jesus Christ is not firm. And I believe that we believe in the Lutheran Church that the Holy Spirit draws us to God, right? Calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies, right? The Holy Spirit does the work, but it's to bring us to Jesus. And my prayer for us is as we desire more. You see, I'm making an assumption here today. I just want to say this. I'm making an assumption that we're not satisfied with what we have of the Holy Spirit right now. And I apologize if you're not there, but that's the way I've been feeling as I've been praying over this since Ascension, and the Lord has been attacking us in so many different ways. For a small church, we get attacked a lot. I want you to know this. I mean, we get attacked on all fronts. For such a small little church, you know, I always think to the Lord, I said, why don't we just do things the practical way? Let's just do things the worldly way, because then maybe Satan wouldn't be so vicious. But he's vicious when you try to say, God, what is your will? What do you want? And how can we follow your will? He's vicious when he feels threatened. And I believe the Lord is attacking us because I believe that we are sincere. I know the elders are, and I believe we as a congregation are, when we say, your will be done among us. What is your plan? What is your will? And I'll tell you something, it ain't easy. It's not easy. It's just not. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit even more. And that's why I'm not satisfied. I don't want to give you the wrong understanding of not satisfied. I'm not complaining to God. I'm just saying, Lord, we need more. We need more. And so I don't know any other way than to seek the Lord more. To spend more time with the Lord. to spend time in prayer, to spend time in His Word, to be with our Lord, the one who draws us by His Holy Spirit, the one who fills us with His Holy Spirit, the one who promises us the power and authority to walk as His people. Give us more, Lord. Give us more, because we need Your strength to walk in Your ways. We need Your strength to pray with conviction and boldness. We need Your strength to believe that You're going to take us through the things that are so difficult, because we are not in the world. Even though we're in the world, we're not of the world, right? And it's so hard in this day, at least from my experience, to be in the world but not of the world. It's so hard to walk according to what the Bible says. Yet I believe that Moses was prophesying Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the 7 weeks that happened from the second day of Passover, where the Hebrew people gathered on the third pilgrimage visit to Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the law, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on that day because the relationship with Jesus would require the gifts of the Holy Spirit to take that message to the whole world, to do what Jesus had commanded them to do. They needed to not only receive the Holy Spirit, because didn't they receive the Holy Spirit when He breathed on them on the night of His resurrection and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." Remember that? They had received the Holy Spirit. But at Pentecost, they were filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. It was pouring out, and it was amazing and perplexing people. And they were asking the question, what does this mean? Brothers and sisters, as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, it just amazes me that we can talk about the Holy Spirit, but yet, and I'm telling you personally how difficult this is. But to yield, to surrender, to give over all that we are, all that we have, all the things that we hold dear, to give them to the Lord, and to surrender them to the Lord and say, "Lord, have Your way." There was a beautiful song that Johannes led us and Joni led us in today. You know, we want more. We want the Lord to have His way with us. Have His way. And I would like to ask you just to pray with me today that this journey that we're going on, as hard as it may be, as difficult and as confusing as it may be, and it's only going to get more confusing, I believe, because people are going after what tickles their ears. They're going after things that make sense to the world. We're warned about this, but it seems to be happening more and more, and there's more churches that are willing to tell them what they want to hear rather than be faithful to God's Word. And it's scary. And I believe that we are situated here strategically because we have a purpose. Our place is secure in that sense that we know there's a group of students that need to hear the truth. Amen? There's a community around us that needs to hear the truth. And I'll tell you something. The truth is a huge blessing because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But there's something that is very impressive when the Spirit not only comes with the truth, but with power, with miracles, with healing, with all the things that are promised in Scripture. There is something amazing about that. And that's what spurs people to say, as we heard in Acts 2, what does this mean? It spurs people to say, what does this mean? Tell us more. And so that is my prayer for us. Can we pray and ask the Lord to fill us with overflowing, to secure us in our identity? You hear me talk about our identity all the time, because that is the only thing on this side of heaven that is secure, is our identity in Christ Jesus. We are His people. We are God's children. Our identity is secure. We're obedient because of who we are. That's the covenant God has made with us. But as we live out our kingdom, as kingdom people, we want that authority and the power that comes as we are filled over and over again with this Holy Spirit and we walk in His power. So can we pray for that this day? Can we surrender our church, our families, our ministry, all the things? Can we surrender these things to our God who promises us that he has greater plans than we can ever imagine? Can we ask him to fill us to overflowing and to let us move by his power? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us our identity in you. Through holy baptism, you have chosen us as your children. You have given us your name, both upon our forehead and upon our heart, to mark us as one redeemed by you, Christ the crucified. And Lord, when you rose from the dead, you won victory for us. And Lord, you want us to grow closer to you. You want us to know you even more, so that like those elders, we can experience that wonderful power of your Holy Spirit, that we can prophesy, that we can do all those wonderful manifestation gifts that you talk about in 1 Corinthians 12, that we can see you calling us to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Lord, we want to experience all that you have for us and even more. Lord, may we not be satisfied with just knowing we're going to heaven, but Lord, that we would rejoice that you have given us the promise of your Spirit, your power, your authority to walk as kingdom people, to move forward. And Lord, we just ask now that you would accept us as your children. Accept us, Lord, and help us to surrender everything we are, everything we have to you. And fill us, Lord, overflowing with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Fill us each and every day so that we can walk in your power and we can sincerely do your will. And all the people said, amen.